The following program contains mature subject matter and is for listeners 18 years or older. Discretion is advised. All views expressed are solely those of the person who said them. We are not doctors. Advice is intended for novelty purposes only. Hi, I'm Dylan. Along with Cooper, Kylie, Tyler, and Sasha, we explore opening our eyes to new possibilities. How we got here, how we stay here, where we go from here, and how you can find your way to an exciting, pleasurable, but sometimes intimidating world is what we're here for. Pull up a swing and explore a sex-positive examination of love, relationships, and the world around us. Welcome to Life on the Swing Set.
Okay, welcome to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. This is episode number 7, in which we talk about four-way connections, taking one for the team, and flying solo. I am Cooper, and with me this week is...
This is Sasha Darling.
And this is Dylan.
And Kylie.
And before we get started, does anyone have any business, anything they'd like to talk about that is off topic?
Oh, Cooper, I think that you might have something that gets a rise out of us.
Oh, how clever you are.
I'm so clever.
I recently had a birthday, and the lovely Sasha gave me one of the greatest birthday presents ever. This birthday present was Stiff Nights capsules, which are an erection-enhancing over-the-counter supplement. And you can buy this right from our beautiful Sasha and her pleasure-parties.com store.
Yes.
And what this does is it works a lot like Cialis. It's something you take before you would like to enjoy yourself thoroughly. And it sort of stays in your bloodstream for, well, for me, it stayed in for 72 hours. And basically had the effect of a time machine taking me back to when I was 15 and the slightest breeze got me hard. This is a truly amazing product, and I don't throw that term around lightly.
There are no adverse side effects, and it actually is better for you, unlike the magic little blue pill. It does not attach to your cells as strongly. So with Stiff Nights, you don't hear about those four-hour erections either. You know, and...
Though if you have one, please get help.
Yes, please. Because that's not how they're supposed to interact. It is all herbal. So it will flush through your system a little quicker. Although you said it was with you for 72 hours, correct?
Yeah, I took it on Saturday in anticipation of my big birthday bash, where there were going to be many beautiful women. I'll just leave it there. And come Tuesday, I was still actually it sort of got a little annoying sitting at my desk at work. You know, oh well, it's back again. And but the fact that it worked quickly. It did exactly what it said, and I felt no adverse effects whatsoever. Except, interestingly, my ears got hot.
Hmm. Huh?
And I can assume it increased was because it increased the blood flow, and the ears, the skin is, you know, thin in the ears, so blood flow was dramatically increased through the ears. But
were blushing. Aww.
It was basically like a permanent blush in my ears, which was very interesting. But did not distract me from the task at hand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, should you have a sort of gala birthday event that you want to make sure you can perform like the 15-year-old boy you'd love to be.
Now, the makers of this product, do they make something for like a female version of it, or...?
No. There are other companies out there that do have some magic little pink pills. I have yet to test them. You know, Cooper, I want to ask you, you know, you said that it lasted for 72 hours. How quickly was your recovery time?
Oh, well, the first night it was a dramatically quick recovery time. I'm talking like 5 minutes.
Okay.
After an orgasm, suddenly all it takes is a little bit of stimulation, you're back. And it was one of those things where I was impressed myself. and it was all I could do to not point it out.
Poing.
Like that, you know, points my watch and say, look how quickly, you know. But that's
Let
not
me
good
know when
fun.
you're on that again, because I'm going to torment you all at work. I'm just going to send you one word or
No,
picture and just
it's not,
like.
it was not a mental thing. That was what was interesting about it, is it's not about thinking your way to an erection. It was
Oh my goodness, look at the time.
definitely related to the stimulation.
Cool.
You know, physical stimulation, that's what did it. So I found that interesting. It's a product we can recommend, and of course, you know, consult your doctor about anything ever, and all
Yeah.
advice on this show is for novelty purposes only. So, we, you know, that should clear us right there. So now, well, let's jump on into the topic here, starting with four-way connections, because as swingers, most of us do couple-on-couple situations, which is, you know, take dating and multiply it by more people, and you have that difficulty of finding often four people who really make a connection like that. And I'm going to start with Sasha tonight.
Yes.
How difficult is it for you to find four-way connections where you like both people and your husband like both people?
It's very difficult. I am very picky. You know, and it's me
As
that
you should be, 'cause you're a pretty impressive girl.
Well, thank you. It's me that usually holds us back. You know, and Rob knows if I say no, it just is no. There's no going anywhere, you know. And he's very good about that and understanding. But if we do make enough connections where it doesn't hinder us. But I am picky, and it's hard. It's hard, you
Well,
know.
do you find, when do you find, or it may be a general thing, but when do you find you know that there's just not a connection here, or that there absolutely is a connection here?
You know almost immediately that there's not a connection, you know.
That is the more obvious one.
Well,
True,
no,
true.
as soon as somebody, and it's not all physical, because sometimes somebody can start to talk it, and if you're kind of iffy, and once they talk, there is an instant connection. So to me, most of it, you know, I mean, while there's a physical attraction, there's also has to be, you know, a further connection once you start to speak with somebody.
Oh, definitely. How about you, Dylan?
I would have to say that we haven't gone out and meet, we haven't gone out to meet a whole ton of couples, and that most of the couples we've met, we've been able to develop a pretty good connection with. There have been a couple where it's been a little bit of an imbalance, but it hasn't been bad to the point where I've had to say, you know, hey, let's not do this at all. It's been more of, you know what, I know that Tonya likes somebody more than I do. And so I still like this person, and I still know I'm going to enjoy myself, and I'm going to make sure that, you know, she has a good time, you know, both the other partner and Tonya. So I don't mind. And so it hasn't rated into like a general dislike or even a general, you know, they're okay, but I'll go ahead and do it. Nothing like that. It's just, you know, it's been more intense with one person or another. But all in all, I think we've had a good track record of finding four-way connections, even though we haven't found a whole lot.
Now, Kylie, last show, you were talking about how there's been some issues in getting this four-way connection. So, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm a people person. I can talk to anybody, I can get along with everybody, so I was usually one that can get along with everyone in the couple. My fiance, on the other hand, is someone, he's a little bit more picky, and he's very introverted, so he's not really, it takes a while for someone to like even get connected to him because he kind of just observes people before he says anything. Well, that's good of a side. His problem with that, he gets a negative side where people are not as attractive to him because of his personality, and so they're, you know, they want me all the time. Because I'm just so cute, sweet, fluffy, whatever. But him, they're like, well, he's nice, but you know, we want you more. oh, a situation where, you know, Darth doesn't get any attention, then I get it all, where which is not fair, so problem arises. It has to be everybody gets the same thing or we don't play.
So the four-way connection thing, what we've found is actually very interesting. In our relationship, I'm the talker, and she is not. You know that there's a reason she is not on our podcast, because she's just not a talker. She's not that the outgoing one of the two of us. And I have noticed in a lot of swing couples, you find pretty much that same dynamic. There is the really outgoing one who's sort of the leader of the couple, and then there's the one who's really into it but is a little bit more reserved. So the best kind of relationships, and we've had it happen both ways, where the other Mrs. is the outgoing one, and she and I really connect as two outgoing people, and the quiet ones connect really well on their own. We've also had it where the opposite is true, where I manage to get a good connection with the quiet one because, I'll take the time and talk and do all that. But I found it very interesting that in a lot of our couples, there's definitely the dominant personality and the recessive personality.
Well, you know, just like any other type of relationship, people are different. So, you know, having four people come in means it's at least four possibilities of not connecting. So.
It depends on what level, too, because we've had couples where, for the most part, we like everybody. Maybe me and the guy are not, you know, soulmate compatible, but we can stand each other enough and we're attracted to each other enough that, you know, hey, we're willing to make this work. So, because Darth and the female are, you know, are having, you know, wonderful gay old times. So, it all depends.
Well, you know, if you think about it a lot like a making a connection with a new friend, or even a lot like a date where you're going out and meeting somebody new, you know, one on one, like we all did at one point, obviously. If you treat it like that, you know, there are a lot of ways that you can kind of bring out what's in the other person a little bit and try and get to know them a little better and see whether you do like them or not. I mean, if you treat it like a little one-on-one situation there. Then it might make it a little easier to get something out of that other person to find out whether you do want to have a connection with them or not.
One thing we found that really helps in the dating situation for making that connection is Marilyn and I will sit across from each other at the table, so that we wind up sitting next to the other significant other, and this allows for easier communication. Rather than communicating across the table to both people, you're working across the table and next to the table, and you also get that great line of sight to your partner, so they can give you that little or yeah, let's keep going kind of look.
Always important. Always important to be able to communicate the little signals, you know.
Yeah, and you know, the thing we've found is the four-way connections can happen out of nowhere, and a lot of the time it's just the fact that we sat down with someone and talked to them more and got to know them, and oh, well, they're very interesting, and I didn't realize this initially, and now I'm interested in these people when maybe I wasn't before. What are ways you guys can encourage a connection?
I think we meet everybody that we meet, whether it's in a club or we meet them on a date, you know, for a first time, without any expectation. And I really think because we go in that way, we have a chance for a better connection because you're not expecting anything from them, and it takes away a lot of that tension. It puts the night more at ease. And you have time then for a communication and to get to know somebody more.
So you're what you mean by the no expectations is whether we turn out to be acquaintances, friends, lovers.
We no expectation of having sex that night, that first night.
Very young. When that does definitely it, the people who do have the expectations of having sex the first night will often rush to that
Correct.
rather than taking the time to just talk and get to know the other couple. And that's
And you know,
really what
sometimes the
makes.
other couple can pick up on that and feel a little bit of stress, and you know, that can cause issues too.
Yeah, that you're trying to kind of, okay, let's get this done so we can get you out of here and be done for life.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is if you just get to know people, and you know, if you have the expectation of, you know, just having sex and just getting to that point, that chance of that connection is not going to be there as much as if you get to know things and find people more interesting in that aspect also.
When, you know, what Kylie mentioned about there can be situations where one partner is definitely more connected to one, and maybe you are enjoying being with this other person, but, you know, they're not rocking your world. That's not the worst thing in the world. When it gets dangerous is with so-called taking one for the team, and that's a lifestyle term that I'll define. It's pretty simple. It's when I'm not interested in someone, but because my wife wants to fuck her husband, I'll go along with it. And
well, it's a lot like it is in, you know, college or any other dating. Well, I guess
it's the bad double date. Is that what you're saying?
Right, or you know, you're at a bar with somebody and you're playing wing wing with a friend, and you know, you take the girl you're not so much attracted with, so that way your friend can get with the other girl. You know, it's it has a lot of the same negatives as that.
Definitely, and they're magnified though because you know you're not married to your friend.
True.
Or you know, and that's we've found that the people who have taken one for the team are often the ones who grow resentful and will throw that back and say, oh, well, I did this, you should be willing to do this, you know. And I mean, it becomes a very dangerous area to get into, and you really want to watch doing that. Basically, with Marilyn and I, we have this agreement that if anyone's not feeling it, we're not doing anything. You know, if anyone gets that weird vibe, we're not doing anything. Because we all know that that weird vibe can show up randomly. And you don't know exactly what caused it, but maybe you want to think on it for a little while. You don't want to rush into it and everybody gets together and fucks, and then you realize what that was later, and now you have that. You missed your opportunity to fend off something like that.
Right.
Have anyone here ever been in a take one for the team situation?
You know what? I have, but I didn't realize till afterwards. If that
That's
makes sense.
That's a unique situation.
It was very unique. You know what? I thought we were into it, and then afterwards, I didn't have as much fun as I anticipated, or he wasn't as pleasurable as, you know, I was kind of bored.
Uh-huh.
So in the, you know, it happened afterwards where I went, wow, you had a lot of fun and I was really bored, you know? So in that aspect, I kind of tell him, you know, I took one for you, you know, but it's more of a joke between us, you know? But it is in the same way, you know, taking one for the team when you're not as fully satisfied or, you know, afterwards as your partner may have been.
Absolutely. And that area is okay.
Mm-hmm.
The dangerous part would be if you said, if you would allow that situation to happen again, knowing what you know now.
Oh, yes.
Because that would be the sort of deceitful version of taking one for the
right.
team is, and, you know, you also had that communication with Rob that, it wasn't that great, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it comes down to, as most things come down to in this lifestyle, is the deceit part is the worst part. So if I'm not interested, but I don't say anything, and then I just sit there and stew and resent a little bit,
yes.
And I mean, nobody's going to win in that situation. That is not a good situation.
Right.
How about Kylie, you taking one for the team?
Yeah, and again, it's I don't have any normal situations. Mine are always like the weird ones.
You do have the fringe versions of these situations.
Well, we actually what it was supposed to be was a single female that we were supposed to hook up with. But I guess like somehow her supposed to be ex-husband got involved. And we're like, okay, well, he seems okay. So we start doing stuff. And he had a great time, but I'm like, I wasn't planning on there being an ex-husband. Okay, well, I guess I can do stuff with him. Because we met them at their house and we were like a couple hours away. So it's not like, so I'm like, okay, I guess we'll see how this goes.
So they advertised as a single couple, as a single female, and then you got there and it was a
no, couple? It wasn't that, because she was a single female, but then she was like, well, my ex-husband's interested after we got there.
Oh, that's terrible. There's a layer of deceit there.
Yeah, and, it wasn't like I was getting, bad vibes off him as far as he was creepy or anything like that. It was just, well, he was nice and he was great and all, especially with his tongue, but besides the point, it was, we were advertised, told something else, and then we get there, and, oh, wait, I want to get this person in, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess I will do it because, we went all the way up here and he really wants to be with her, but I wasn't planning on it, or expecting you to really wanted to do it.
Well, that is a great example of taking one for the team. Even a couple can take one for the team. There happens to be times when, the couple is not feeling it, but they'll go along with it because they really don't want to hurt the feelings of the other couple. And I think that just doesn't serve anybody, because it, again, resentment, all sorts of upset feelings, and honesty is the best policy, and blah blah blah, and all this bullshit that I've been saying.
It's better to clean up an honest mess than to put it off and cover with lies.
Definitely. Dylan, taking one for the team?
Nope, haven't been there. I have been with people I haven't exactly, well, I'd say there have only been a couple of people that I haven't had a great time with, but it was a one-on-one situation. It really wasn't a couple situation.
And it was a decision you made, and it was, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't regret the decision. It was what it was. And like I said earlier, there have been definitely a couple of couples where I haven't liked the female partner as intensely as Tonya might have, but it wasn't a take one for the team situation at all. I haven't been in that. I've been pretty lucky.
That's good. And way to avoid that. I've only had to take one for the team once, and it was once too much, and I'm not doing that again. It was in a three couple situation, and as people were getting paired off, I realized I was not going to be with the person I wanted to be with. And I probably should have spoken up there, but I didn't.
Sounds fun.
Oh, it wasn't.
Well, another downside to that would be the person that, maybe not in your situation, but if you did take one for the team, would that person be able to tell? If you're doing it not to hurt their feelings, would they be able to tell that you're actually just with them for the partner? And that wouldn't feel bad. As me, let's say I slept with somebody and she was only doing it for her husband, that wouldn't make me feel that great either. So I would much rather be told, I'm not really interested, and if we still wanted to let the other two play, we could, and if not, then we didn't. I'd rather have that choice as opposed to being a pity fuck.
And I agree with that, because I've been in that situation as well, and I maintain that all you have to do is tell me you're not interested in me, and I can be okay with that. I can even be okay with my wife fucking your husband if you are honest with me and there's just no interest, because part of the lifestyle that's very important to me and very important to my enjoyment of it is the feeling that I do have somewhat of a connection with this person I'm being, I'm with. And when somebody's not interested, it really shows in almost everything they do. And that makes me feel bad. Clearly they're not having fun. And the only two people who are having fun, we are both resentful of at that moment. Which is just not a good situation.
It's not what you're looking for,
No. So, four-way connections can be difficult. Taking one for the team is a no-no. Flying solo. Marilyn and I have, on numerous occasions, had solo dates. It's not for everybody in the lifestyle, we know. And some people we talk to have very specific rules for flying solo dates, and others are very open to it. What do you guys think of dating solo? I know, Sasha, with you and Rob, since the same room watching thing and big group thing is so important to you, I would imagine there isn't solo possibility.
We don't have that.
Now, is it
or
something...
we haven't gotten to it yet, I should say. Maybe one day we can't rule out anything, but right now we haven't gotten to it.
And it would be something, obviously, that would need a lot of talking about before it happened.
Correct. Yes.
Dylan, I happen to know, because we know each other outside this podcast, that...
Do we?
That you do... that you and Antonia have had the flying solo nights. How do you guys feel about that? How does that work into the dynamic of your swinging lifestyle?
Well, we both do it. We both like it. I don't think we have a preference for same date or same room or flying solo. I think we just kind of like it all right now, and we haven't really come down to, you know what, if we had a preference, let's do this. So we've been pretty malleable as far as the other couple's concerned. But when we have flown solo, I gotta say I enjoyed it. I've talked about how... I really like the chase, the flirting, you know, all the things that come before sex, just as much as sex itself. And it really gives me a chance to kind of go out there like I'm dating again and have fun and really feel that anticipation and even the uneasiness of, well, am I going to be able to get with this person or not? You know, having the open question there, flying solo, is kind of just another level of excitement. As far as Tonya is concerned, I think that she likes, it gives her, you know, I don't put pressure on her at all, but I think there is just a little bit of built-in pressure when you see your other person, or I'm sorry, when you see your partner with somebody else, it's like, well, you know, do they like that person? I don't know, but maybe I'll do it anyway. And so one of the ways to get rid of that imbalance possibility is that you do it one-on-one. And you do it with license to do, with an agreement that you have license to do whatever you'd like. And if it's, you know, if the other person doesn't have a good time, then that's okay. It just doesn't happen. So she's gone out, had a great time. I've gone out, had a great time. We both gone out and had not such a great time. But it's been okay because we don't feel the pressure from each other that we have to or not.
Now,
so,
for you, is that, for you two, is that with couples that you have... relationship with as couples, or is that with true solos? Is it, you know, one of you has a relationship with someone on the outside, that kind of thing?
Well, the successful ones have been with people that we've already had relationships with as couples. The ones that haven't been successful, I would actually describe as works in progress. There have been a couple of individuals that I've kind of seen outside of a couple setting that I'm friends with and that are kind of future potentials, but that aren't, you know, they don't necessarily call themselves swingers, but they may have an alternative lifestyle of some sort. And so, you know, they're kind of open to it. And of course there's full disclosure everywhere. That's always very important.
Oh, and that's an interesting bit of side note there is when you say full disclosure, in our relationship, the disclosure comes in the form of, you know, usually when Marilyn or I get home from one of these solo dates, it usually revolves around, did you have fun? Did you fuck? Is there anything interesting that happened that you want to tell me about? No? Okay, I don't need details. You know, but at the same time, we have had nights where just suddenly, for whatever reason, one of us really wanted the details. And it's like, well, and then what happened? Oh, tell me about that. And it's sort of become a whatever the other person is feeling at that time, that's the level of detail we go into. How about you?
He did what to you? Where? Oh my god!
But you know, it's also important to give full disclosure to the person you're going out with.
Oh yes,
like absolutely. I said, that you know, the people that I've gone out with haven't necessarily been swingers. You know, they haven't been that magical unicorn, the single female. But,
oh, the
you know,
magical
had...
unicorn.
That's right. Yeah, you know, one thing I kind of like about my generation, and you know, the generation after the Gen Xers, is that we've kind of embraced across the board a more open understanding about relationships and sexuality in general. And so I think that the pool of
hedonists,
people that are open, the pool of hedonists, the people, you know, the pool of people that are open to alternative things is generally larger than I think it has been in the past. And so, you know, when I can go out with another person and see where things are going, you know, I can tell them, listen, I'd like you to meet, you know, my wife, and I'd like you to know that this is okay with her. We're in a very stable, loving married relationship, and that's the way it's going to stay. But at the same time, if you're okay with that, I'd like to go out with you and have a good time. And if you wanted to take it further, and you know, I mean, I've never said, you know, hey, if you want to fuck, then we can. But there's an understanding that, you know, if we're gonna go out on a couple dates and have a good time, that might happen. And so for them to know where I am is also just as important as for me to let, you know, my wife know where I'm going, who I'm going with, what the intentions are, and everything like that. And, of course, the post-date report.
How about you, Kylie? Do you do the one-on-one dating?
We've done it. I actually have a person right now that I've kind of held off on because Darth doesn't have anybody, but we've done couples where him and her have really connected, and so him and her went off and did whatever, and then him and I had a great connection, so we've gone off and done anything, and it's the same thing that we, you know, we say, hey, you know, Wednesday I'm gonna go hang out with so and so, you know, we're gonna go do this, you know, I don't know if we're gonna have sex, or we are going to, or we're not going to, then we'll go out, me and the partner will go out, and then I'll come back home, and I'll say, yeah, we had a great time, this is what we did, you know, and then we've done where we've kind of done the poly thing where I've gone out with a single guy and had, I'll say, quote, kind of gone on a date, you know, dinner, movie kind of thing, and gone back and had sex or haven't had it. And he's had, you know, a single female at one point that, you know, he did that with. And all it was is just full disclosure as far as telling what we're doing, when we're doing. You know, if he wanted to bring her over to the house, I'm like, oh, okay, no problem. Do you want me there? Do you not want me there? Oh, okay, no, there's no problem. I can, you know, go do this. There's no problem.
Okay, before we wrap it up here, I want to put this out to each one of you quickly. Love at first sight sort of thing. You know, when you have that connection and you know it immediately that this is a person I want to get with. Sasha, what's that experience for you?
Oh, yikes. What is that experience? When
that's
I
a
just
hard
see...
question to do just quickly.
Yeah, that's a hard question to do very quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, don't rush the women.
Yeah, don't rush us.
Take your time, then.
Yeah.
I got hit hard.
You know, if I see just the man by himself and I look at him and, you know, I want to be with him, I'm instantly looking for his wife. Or his girlfriend, to see if she is somebody that I would want to be with, and if it would be somebody Rob would want to be with.
Excellent. Very nice. How about you, Dylan?
Lust or love at first sight?
Well, I'm not suggesting it's love at first sight. That was just
the
train of thought there.
Sure. Let's say... I'd say it's happened, and it's usually ended up pretty good. Gotten lucky, there's been a connection on all sides. So, it happens. It's good.
Okay. Kylie, have you had that? Immediate?
I've actually not had that. I've had it where I've met them, and then we, you know, we spent a couple hours together, and it was like, oh, okay, this is going to work, but it wasn't like, you know, instant connection like that. I actually, other than my fiance, actually haven't even felt that. The closest thing I've had is where, oh, okay, he has a nice butt, who I really want to get with him, you know, or, mm-hmm. you know, she's got a great body or whatever, but not anything significant as far as a great connection right off.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's also builds a connection right there. Mine, I remember very specifically, it was at a house party. There was this redhead there that I'd been watching, and I noticed her glancing at me a few times. Then she was up dancing with my wife. They made out a little bit, and she looked right at me, and that was, I knew that that was a person that I was going to be spending time with. And
I think part of it with me is just because I'm such a people person that everybody, you know, is feels the same to me, just because I'm like, oh, I like people. Hi, how you doing?
And there's nothing wrong with that either, especially in this lifestyle. So that was our four-way connections, taking one for the team and flying solo episode. If you have anything you desperately want to communicate to us, you can contact us two ways, contact at lifeontheswingset.com, or give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 573-55-SWING, that's 573-557-9464, and this can be used for any sort of communication with us. You want to ask us out, you want to tell us we're jerks, you want to talk about,
I already know I'm a jerk,
how hot the voices of our women on this show are, you go right ahead and do all those things, or any of those things. This has been Cooper with episode 7 of Life on the Swing Set. Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
And thanks for swinging by.